A physical production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Mortal Life, raising faithful kids. It's a tough world out there, and it's harder than ever to raise faithful kids. Let us help easier. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we are talking about raising faithful kids. And it's a terrifying thing. I mean, you know, we all want to raise faithful kids, but it is a tough world out there. And it is harder than ever, I think, to raise faithful kids. Well, let's help you make it easier today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Call and tell us what challenges you face in raising your kids to love God and live their faith. You know, maybe you experience your kids pushing back against your rules or values. Maybe you're feeling intimidated by the culture or the peer pressure. Maybe getting them to pray is like pulling teeth, or maybe you just feel unsupported or undermined in your efforts to raise your kids in the faith. For that matter, maybe you've got adult kids who've fallen away. Look, whether your kids are 3 or 13 or 30 or 93, let us help you raise your kids to be godly, faithful people. 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, you joked and said, well, maybe they're 93. We never stop being parents. We never stop wanting our kids to have a good relationship with God and a good moral compass. In fact, some of us come into that realization later in raising our kids and then struggle with the fact that we didn't do it from the ground up. But we come to a place where we say, this is what we want for our children. And no matter what age they are or what stage of our lives, we come into the realization that we want to give them a relationship with God and a good moral compass. It's difficult. There are more challenges out there than there ever have been before. You know, I remember talking to a cardinal once who talked about how easy it was to be Catholic when he was a kid, because his whole town just kind of moved with the church schedule. Everybody in his town knew that when the church bells rang at noon, they went home from school to lunch and got to be with mom and had their lunch. And then when the church bells rang again, they went back to school. Everybody didn't eat meat on Fridays. Everybody kind of looked for each other at Mass on Sundays. So there was that additional little like pressure. Everybody celebrated the same holy days. And now there's none of that support.
I can't even imagine.
It just doesn't happen in the same way for any of us anymore. And so how do we do it as parents when we have that desire? How do we keep from fighting with our kids about it? How do we do this if we're helping to raise the grandchildren or the nieces or the nephews? How do we answer the call that God is putting on our hearts and help our children fall in love with God, fall in love with His church, and be everything that God is calling them to be? So if you're struggling with helping your children or your grandchildren or those children in your life find God and not argue with you, not make it a point of contention, not have it be so heartbreaking, you can give us a call today here on More to Life, and we will help you out at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And I have to say, this is not just for those, you know, this opinion isn't just for those of us who are well into parenting and we're like, how do we do this? Life is harder now. We have kids who are in their 20s on down to, you know, high school, teenage level. And our oldest will often say to us, it's changed so much since we were our youngest sibling's age. You know, this is, everything in society is different. Like, how are you handling this,
yeah,
mom and dad?
A space of 10 years.
10 to 13
yeah.
years, you know, in there. And how do you do it now with an eye toward, and how are we going to do this? Because,
with our own kids, sure.
You know, this is not the situation that we were necessarily raised in and we thought it was hard then. And so it's objectively changed. It's objectively posed more challenges. And so if you're saying, how do I do this? Or how do I support my children in raising my grandchildren? Whatever that is, we're here to help you find the grace of God and some good answers today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And here's the good news. This is not a matter of guesswork. Now, I mean, there are no guarantees. I'll put that out there, sure, certainly. But this isn't a matter of guesswork anymore. There's a lot of fantastic research that talks about what it takes to raise kids who will own their faith from one generation to the next, and what parents can do to stack the deck in their favor. We, Lisa and I, worked together with the OSV Institute, Holy Cross Family Ministries, and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at Notre Dame to host a symposium in 2019 that explored that research and looked at what would it take to really renew Catholic family life. And out of that, we've developed some things that I have to say have been tremendously well received by the National Association of Catholic Family Life Ministers, the USCCB's Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. And in fact, last Friday we hosted a training on these ideas about renewing Catholic family life and how to raise faithful kids that some folks from the Vatican attended because they'd heard about the work that we're doing here. So, you know, I'm not saying there are any guarantees and I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I am saying that we do believe that we have some really cutting-edge information to be able to share with you to make your job as a faithful parent who wants to raise faithful kids easier. 877-573-7825 is the number. What challenges do you face in raising kids to love God and live their faith? Maybe your kids push back against your rules or values. Maybe getting them to pray is like pulling teeth or herding cats, right? Maybe you just feel unsupported or undermined in your efforts to raise your kids in the faith. Maybe, you know, you are feeling intimidated by having to parent in this culture. And really, who wouldn't feel that way? Or for that matter, maybe you've just got adult kids who you've done your best with but have fallen away, and you're not sure what to do now. Whether your kids are 3 or 13 or 30, let us help you raise faithful kids. The number 877-573-7825. And I'll also put out a plug there. We have a free resource supporting families like yourselves who are wanting to raise faithful kids. If you go on Facebook, we have a discussion group called Catholic Home. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Catholic H-O-M. And there are about 2,500 families who are there every day talking about what does it take to really live the faith in new and dynamic ways in their home and experience Christ more meaningfully at home and experience their faith as the source of the warmth in their home. We'd love to have your voice represented there as well. You can check it out on Facebook at Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. We'd love to have you there. Learn more about raising faithful kids. But we're taking your calls right here, right now at 877-573-7825. And the theology of the body actually has a lot to say, or at least a lot of hints to give, on this topic.
It explains to us that, you know, when we think about raising faithful children, Catholic parents often go immediately to the lessons they teach, the rules they set, or the spiritual practices like going to Mass or the family rosary that they engage in. But the theology of the body reminds us that before we can learn about God or even worship God, we must be in relationship with God. And the best way to help our children enter into a relationship with God is to make sure that our family life reflects His love. As St. John Paul put it, the celebration which gives meaning to every other form of prayer and worship is found in the family's actual daily life together. If it is a life of love and self-giving.
And that's really the key. You know, the family spirituality begins with that kind of self-giving love that St. John Paul was just talking about in the quote that Lisa read. Research really shows that the most important predictor of whether our kids are going to own their faith as adults is whether they experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes growing up. You know, religious faith tends to take hold in our kids best when they see how our faith, our faith as parents, makes their family life more loving, more peaceful, and more joyful than their unchurched friends' homes. Think about that. You know, a Catholic family has got to consistently challenge each member, parents and kids, to overcome the selfish and sinful ways we naturally tend to want to treat each other, and instead work hard to learn how to love each other with God's love. If we want to create the fertile soil that religious practices and good catechesis need in order to take root. So there are good things that we can share with you that others have, other research has pointed out that can stack the deck in our favor as Catholic parents to raise faithful kids. But it's not necessarily obvious. So let's talk about it and find ways to help you do what you're doing even better and get better results from the things that you are doing. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're going to help you raise faithful kids. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of children. You have reminded us that you want all the little children to come to you. And you ask us to work with you, to share your love with them, so that they might know you when they see you, and that they might experience you in our homes. Help us, Lord, to be effective witnesses to our children, to disciple them and lead them to you by capturing their hearts and bringing those hearts to you. Give us the grace that we need to be strong in our faith, to be effective, loving witnesses, and to create homes where we and our children can experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, we're talking about raising faithful kids. And whatever age your kids are, whether they're little or there are adults who are struggling in their faith, we want to help you disciple your kids to actually lead them into a deeper relationship with the Lord and His church and be the faithful, effective parents God is calling all of us to be. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Vermont.
Hey, Anna, welcome to Mortal Life. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, so my grandson is 6, and he went to a Catholic school. First year of his schooling was kindergarten last year. This year he's in a public school. And so I'm wondering, how can I help her? My daughter now she's not been regularly, faithfully going to the Catholic Church. She's so confused because of the culture that we live in. And also, not just that, when I was young, I don't know that I really did take them to church. I had them very young, my two children. So she doesn't really have a solid foundation, like you had mentioned in the show. the experience starts when they're young growing up, and they didn't have that, unfortunately. So now I'm trying to, like, manage this the best I can, and I'm at a loss for words because she ended up recently at a non-denominational service.
Okay.
And I was, like, livid because I just felt that he would even be more confused from going to two different schools and then, you know, from that church, from Catholic Church to this.
Okay.
So my grandson once said to me how I would encourage him to pray. He goes, I don't even know how to pray.
So, well, neither did the disciples, so that's okay.
All right.
You know, Anna, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Somewhere in your life, you went from the young mom, and I love that you can just openly say this, didn't take your kids to church. It really, you know, you were young, you didn't have that on your radar, and suddenly God has been on your radar, and you want to give him to your grandchild and your child.
Definitely.
What was that about? How did you develop this Catholic relationship with God? Because knowing how that happened and why that's important to you is really the first step in answering the question of how do you share it with your family.
Interesting. Yeah, thank you for that. It's a long story, but to try to make it brief, it's been a long journey, a long process. I was raised Catholic, cradle Catholic, as they call it, and I've experienced Latin masses when I was young growing up. And my parents were pretty much devout. We prayed the rosary around the table, leaning down. I have 9 siblings, you know.
So that was your background, and then you raised the kids without that. And what happened in your adulthood? For the sake of time.
Right, exactly. So after my kids left to college, that's when my coming back to the church really started. And then even more so, much stronger, God was calling me after I had an infection in my spine in 2015.
Okay.
So this is really new for you
in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, you've been working toward this for a very long time. God has been in your heart. And I have to say, you know, despite the fact that you weren't able to give your kids a Catholic upbringing, or at least a consistent Catholic upbringing, you know, you're saying your daughter, you know, has found the Lord. And she's attending,
or at least is seeking him by attending a non-denominational church.
And she's not exactly where you'd like her to be, but God has her on a journey too.
And your grandson saying, I don't know how to pray, but at least there's that idea of prayer is a thing. And he has some prompting that he doesn't know how to do it, but he'd like to learn. And the disciples themselves said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We really don't know what you mean by this.
So I'm going to encourage you to not be angry about where your daughter is or what the situation is. She's seeking the Lord, and God is calling to her, and she's responding the best she can, just as you responded the best you could over those many years. The best thing that you can do, number one, is to identify for yourself, to kind of come up with what they call an elevator speech, right? About you know, for your own head, why does your Catholic faith matter to you? How do you experience God in the church? What does it mean to you personally? Don't hit people over the head with catechism stuff or doctrine, but personally, why does being Catholic matter to you?
What does your Catholic relationship with God make in your daily life?
Now, I don't want you to go, you know, preaching that necessarily to, you know, your daughter or your grandson, you know, and lecturing them on that. I just want you to know what it is so that you can articulate that when it comes up. You know, you have a great opportunity when you said you were encouraging your grandson to pray and he said he didn't know how to pray. Well, you know, let's do that now. And, you know, you just, Lord, please bless my grandson. In fact, here's a simple prayer that I want every parent or grandparent to do. When you hug your kids, every time you hug your kids, I want you to also make the sign of the cross on their heads and just say out loud, Lord, please let, name of child, know how much I love them and let them know you love them even more. Amen. That's a great way to start praying with your littlest ones. And then you add in other prayers as you can, you know. We actually talk a lot about this in our book, Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. I'm referencing that because we've got to go to break. But there are tons of resources in Discovering God Together that build on the suggestions that we're making. But the big takeaway, Anna, is realize that your daughter's on a journey too, just like you were. And God was patient with you while you found your way to him and the full communion with him in the church. And you need to be patient with your daughter and lead by example be able to intercede, be able to explain why, on a personal level, your Catholic faith matters, and witness to that. In those little opportunities God gives you to pray with them and lead them into deeper relationship. And I really invite you, in addition to checking out that book, check out that resources we mentioned on Facebook, Catholic HOM, Households on Mission. It's a great discussion group that'll give you lots more ideas. We got to go to break. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Dr. John and Claire Grabowski, who'll be sharing about raising Catholic kids for their vocations. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking today about raising faithful kids. Joining us right now, Dr. John and Claire Grabowski. John is a moral theologian at Catholic University. He and his wife, Claire, have served on the Pontifical Council for Families, and they are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, and that's what they're here to talk about today. How do we raise Catholic kids for their vocations? John and Claire, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, guys. It's great to be here with you.
Good to have you with us. So let's start, John. I mean, so you let us know that today, of course, is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. And I guess that's a reminder that all parents kind of are called to raise their kids to know what God is calling them to in their lives.
Absolutely. So, and the first time our children really encounter the Lord is in their baptism. But our job as parents is to help make that encounter with the Lord happen continually, even every day in the life and practices of our family.
You know, this everyday idea is something that, you know, we started talking about with our first caller, Anna, and a lot of us think, oh, well, you know, how do we do that? But the church actually has a word for this, don't they, Claire? And tell us what that is and how in the world we start.
Well, Lisa, the church calls this remote preparation, and it's remote preparation for the vocation to a state in life. And it does begin when our children are very small. And it's our responsibility as parents to teach them through developing a prayer life how to listen to the Lord. And when they can listen to the Lord and hear his voice, then he can call them and show them what their vocation is. So when he does call them and when they think they really know what God wants them to do, then it's our job to support them in living out that call. So you know, it happens all through their lives.
John, I just want to ask, as a follow-up to that, you know, when we talk about vocation, I think most people think automatically priesthood and or religious life. But marriage is a vocation as well, right?
Absolutely. Vocation just means a call. So as Claire said, the Lord calls us to a particular state in life in which to follow him. And so when the Lord calls one of our kids in an unexpected direction, like a child who we think is going to get married to religious life, or a child who we think has a vocation to priesthood, to marriage, then, as Claire said, it's our job to support that and to nurture that call and affirm it in our children.
Well, I love what you guys are saying here, because it also really prepares our children to always have that heart of, God has a purpose for me and I need to answer that call, rather than just kind of sliding all over life and never quite knowing. So as our children become adults, Claire, how does that task change and work for parents then?
You know what, Lisa, it's very interesting you say that, because we too have a call in life, and it changes throughout our role as parents. And you know, our call when they were little was to really try to guide them and to try to give them examples. That doesn't change, but as they get older and become adults, we need to start surrendering them more and more to the Lord and trust that he's guiding them like we tried to teach them how to do. And we need to just keep praying for them, you know, constantly, because sometimes they're going to choose things that we don't think are right. And we just have to keep praying that they're listening to God and trusting him that he has a greater plan than we do for our children.
John and Claire, thank you so much for being with us today. Your book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, through TAN Publishers. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your insights as well. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about raising faithful kids, whatever age your kids are, whether they're 3 or 13 or 30 or 93. Our job as faithful parents never stops, and we want to be able to disciple our kids into a deeper relationship with the God who loves them and the church that teaches them how to live abundant lives. So if you're struggling in any way to do that, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us make your job easier today on More to Life.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Why is the church always considered holy? The church is held to be holy because Jesus Christ, who alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is holy. He loved the church as his bride. The Catholic Catechism tells us he gave himself up for her so as to sanctify her and endow her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. United with Christ, the church is sanctified by Christ. With him and through him, she becomes sanctifying. All the activities of the church are directed toward the sanctification of persons in Christ and the glorification of God. It is in the church that, by the grace of God, we acquire holiness. The church on earth already is endowed with real, though imperfect, sanctity. In her members, perfect holiness is yet to be acquired, though all members are called to perfect holiness. Charity is considered the soul of holiness. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. You may have heard the phrase, the family who prays together stays together. But you may not know that this is backed up by significant research. Based on hundreds of studies, couples who pray together tend to be 15 to 20% happier than couples who don't. In fact, the more often you pray together, the happier you'll be. In one study, couples who said they pray together a lot were 30% more likely to endorse a positive statement about their spouse. Making God a regular, important part of your marriage relationship will help you have a more intimate, healthy, faithful marriage. And committing to prayer as a couple will enable you to show the world that the love that God shows you is possible. So today, ask your spouse to pray with you. And remember, God wants to change the world through your marriage. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about raising faithful kids. Look, it is a tough world out there, and I don't think I'm going to get too much argument when I say that I think it's harder than ever to raise faithful kids. But let's work together and find ways to make it easier. The good news is there are real resources and solid research that can enable any parent to stack the deck in their favor. Let's talk about what that is today on More to Life with your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Christina, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I've been listening to you folks for the past couple weeks, and I've just really appreciated and wanted to express my appreciation for you both. I have three children now and entering early adulthood, a 15-year-old son, 16-year-old daughter, and a 20-year-old daughter. And the 20-year-old daughter, since we were talking about right to life, I had outside of my marriage before I got married, and was inspired to keep my child and raise my child and met my husband when she was 10 months old and has been and was married in the Catholic Church. I was born and raised Catholic, but raised her Catholic and had two more children raised in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic school. So I felt like I gave him a good foundation. We attended church. They participated in youth group. So I felt like I laid a good foundation. I feel in the climate today, it's very hard, as you guys were saying, to raise young adults with social media, cell phones. And I just had my daughters tell me 2 days ago that neither one of them wanted a Catholic wedding. Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart. And,
did they say why?
Yeah, what's the story there?
I said, you know, I don't understand, you know, well, Mom, come on, get with the times. And it was like, well, you know, I got married in the Catholic Church. I said, I really would have liked to get married in a park. I had a certain park I wanted to do it at. But I was made aware that it wasn't recognized in the Catholic Church if we were married outside. So it was very important to me that you know, to both my husband's family and ourselves, that, you know, we were married in the Catholic Church and that it was acknowledged by the Catholic Church. And I tried to express that to them, and they were like, "That Mom, that doesn't even matter anymore." And the fact that, you know, I have, you know, tried to lay that foundation and they still feel that way. I feel like almost still in these days, we're persecuted for our faith. And a lot of people are angry at Catholics, and a lot of Catholics are angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even feel like I've been going on a spiritual journey with a friend of mine as well. I feel like I wasn't educated well as a Catholic, and, you know, was angry with the Catholic Church.
Can I ask you a question? In terms of, you know, there are a couple of different ways I want to go with this, but first, I guess, in terms of how you guys experience the faith at home, talk to me a little bit about that. Do you guys pray together as a family? It sounds like you have some kind of faith-based conversations, but how, you know, talk to me about how the faith impacts life at home.
When my children graduated from Catholic grade school in eighth grade, that we decided to go with public high school, I feel like a lot of the influence went by the wayside. We still had the regular routine of praying before dinner. You know, since they were older, we did not pray at night like we used to. So,
you know, I feel like a lot of that was probably our fault. But we tried to keep them involved in youth group. We tried to stay with math.
Let me jump in here, because there are two things that I want you to do. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you talked about giving the kids a good foundation, and what you described as a good foundation is what a lot of Catholic parents think is a good foundation, but it's actually the first floor. And what ends up happening is a lot of Catholic parents try to build the first floor with no foundation. The foundation is how we live our faith at home. That's the foundation. You know, do we spend time every day as a family in prayer? Do we spend time talking about how our faith makes a difference in our lives? Do we spend time really exploring, you know, how do we live differently and you know, work really hard to overcome the selfish ways we tend to want to treat each other as families and intentionally challenge and lovingly challenge each other to choose more godly ways to relate as a family? That's the foundation. Going to Catholic school, youth group, even participating in Mass, I mean, as essential as that is, that's the first floor, the foundation. And then that's, we read this quote from St. John Paul at the beginning of the show, right? That says, the celebration, which gives meaning to every other form of prayer and worship, is found in the family's actual daily life together, if it is a life of love and self-giving. And that's actually the second part of the quote. The first part, he talks about, you know, how family prayer and family spirituality is important. But essentially what he's saying is, if the kids aren't experiencing the faith at home in a way that makes a difference in the quality of the relationships in the home, then every other thing we do is going to be undermined. Okay? So that, my point in saying that, you know, you said, oh, but we think it's our fault. I don't care about blame. It's not your fault. You did the best you could. That's irrelevant. Okay? But what it does is it gives you a way forward. And there are two things I want you to do. I want you to start praying together as a family today. Okay? And you're going to get some pushback on it, and that's okay. You know, I just want you to say to everybody, you know what, guys? We used to pray together every night as a family, and I really miss it. And I know we haven't done it for a while, and it's probably going to feel a little weird, but it's important that God be part of our everyday lives and decisions. And he can't do that if we're not giving him the opportunity. So I'd like to start praying together somehow tonight. What would you guys like to do to make that happen? And just start where you're comfortable, but bring your hearts to it and bring your actual lives to it. So even if you say formal prayers, take a minute before you do that to talk to God about what the best part of the day was, what the hardest part of the day was. Thank him for that best part. Ask him for help with the hard parts, and then do your rosary or say that glory be or whatever it is. But bring your hearts to God first, and those praises and intentions first, and then whatever else you want to do.
And it's okay for you to start this prayer tonight. When you start to pray with them, to say, Lord, I really got a wake-up call. You know, when the girls said that they didn't really want a Catholic marriage, it really hit me that there's something tugging at my heart that really wants them to have a full sacramental marriage and to know all the beauty you can give them. But more than that, I want them to know you. And I don't feel like I've had the tools to be able to give that to them, you to them. Help me to figure out how to do that. Help us to all seek you together as friends, because we need you in this world. It's a big, scary, weird world, and we need you, Lord. And just be that open, Christina, where you're just saying, Lord, it was a wake-up call. I think it was your Holy Spirit, but I don't know how to fill this. Only you do.
Now, I said there were two things. Actually, there are three. All right, so that's the first one. The first one is, I want you to really look hard at how you are living your faith at home and allowing your faith to make a difference in the way you guys relate to each other. We do talk about this more in Discovering God Together, A Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, if you want to explore more ideas on this. The second thing I want you to do, though, is make sure that you are giving your kids a Catholic marriage that they'd want to aspire to. You know, are you and your husband challenged by our Catholic faith to love each other deeper and to live a more faithful and loving life together? And if you are struggling in anywhere in that relationship, I want you to go to a marriage encounter. I want you to be reading books on Catholic marriage. And
there's tons of stuff that's virtual right now, because I realize you're on the Cincinnati end of Ohio and it's tough out there, but there's stuff you can take advantage of.
You know, we have a book called Praying For and With Your Spouse that you and your husband should be going through together to learn how to pray together as a couple. Let's witness, okay, to the difference that our Catholic faith makes in marriage. We can't want our kids to get married in the church if we don't show them the difference that a church wedding makes.
But here's the thing. Most of us don't know what it is. So there's also For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage.
That's
which,
the third thing I was going to get to.
Right. You don't only have to go through like with your husband, because it could sound like what we're saying here is get everything all squeaky clean, kind of like buying somebody a car, right? You want to make sure that, you know, you've got it taken, the engine taken care of, and it's been detailed, and it looks all great, and then you just present it to them. And that's not what we're telling you to do. We're saying that that wake-up call that tugged on your heart of the girl saying, oh, Mom, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. We don't need to have a Catholic marriage. Was God waking you up to say, you know, I know deep down in your heart, Christina, you love me and I matter and your Catholic faith matters. It's time to wake that up and start to go through that process together with your spouse and your kids, because he's calling all of you to a deeper relationship with him.
Now, and as I said, that's the third thing we wanted to say. And specifically why I brought that up is because in the first chapter of For Better Forever, we actually walk through the difference.
That's what I was thinking.
That a Catholic marriage makes. All right. So in the first chapter, we kind of talk about all the different types of relationship. Okay. We talk about cohabitation. We talk about, what we do is we set it up as a marriage store. And imagine going to a store and you see different products on the shelf, and you turn the product around and you look at the, you know, our product does X, Y, and Z, and their product does nothing. You know, that kind of those charts that you see. Well, we do that with cohabitation, civil marriage, what we call romantic marriage, kind of getting married on the beach, you know. Then we talk about theistic marriage, which is just sort of a general, you know, marriage in some church or other, and then Catholic marriage. And we compare them side by side. And what the comparison boils down to is the promises that you make in those different relationships. When you cohabit, you don't make any promises at all. You just sort of slide into a relationship together. When you get married in front of a judge, you basically promise to pay your taxes and, you know, share your stuff and claim your kids. That's it, right? In a romantic marriage, you might do that plus, I don't know, you know, offer some vague emotional sentiments to each other. But that's about it, right? In a theistic marriage, you might also invite God into that relationship how you want him to be involved. But in a Catholic marriage, you promise all those things plus actually saying, you know what? We want God to be at the center of our relationship to teach us to love each other, because we feel love for each other, but we don't know how to actually love each other in a way that God wants us to or that would last a lifetime. And so we want to learn how. And Catholic marriage is the only one where you're making promises to learn how to love each other the way God wants you to, instead of just deciding to let God play whatever role you want him to play in your life. Now, I can promise you that there are lots of times where I have just tried to say, okay, God, I'm going to handle this on my own, and I'm going to let you in where I want you to, and I can guarantee you that has never worked out well for me once, all right? And it's not going to work out for marriage either. And that's why Catholic marriage matters. Because there are certain promises you make in a Catholic marriage you don't make in any other place. And your girls need to know that. You can articulate that if you take a look at the first chapter in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which really talks about the difference between Catholic marriage and all the other marriage types that are out there, or relationship types that are out there. So there are three resources we mentioned and three points, all right? The first one is making sure that you're living your faith at home in a clear way. Discovering God together will speak to that. The second one is making sure you're witnessing to a marriage that your girls would want to have, you know, a real Catholic marriage, and showing them the difference that it makes. Praying for and with your spouse can help you really get to the heart of that. And to explain the difference between Catholic marriage and the others, to kind of respond specifically to the question they raised, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, we'll get more into that.
But just remember that this is about you coming at this with the gift of humility, which is just to say, wow, this was a real wake-up call for me. I'm really feeling, since the day we talked about this, that God is asking me to go deeper with him and to help you guys go deeper with him. And I'd like to do this together, because how your life turns out, the joy that you can have in this life, the peace that you can have in this life by having a full communion with God in the sacraments, is really calling out to me. And I want to do this together. So let's start praying together somehow. Tonight, how do you want to do this? Because I'm not letting you off the hook. We got to do it. but I want to do it in a way we all want to start together and go from there and trust the Holy Spirit and keep calling on the Holy Spirit to come into the situation.
This is a huge invitation from God. You know, it doesn't feel like it, maybe.
No, it feels terrifying. And see, that's the thing, is Satan loves to come into those invitations and say, this is too big and scary. You can't do this. Then as soon as we start thinking things like, I can do anything with God, he goes, oh, no, you messed up, Satan's saying this. And he gets us so messed up in our heads about how we messed up that we can't see where God wants to take us. So step by step here, Christina, ask the Holy Spirit to come into it and show you the way and give you the courage to do it and to go before you and prepare the way in your girls' and your kids' hearts for this, because you've got three wonderful kids who are looking for a way to find God, and you can help them.
Thanks for the call, Christina. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about raising faithful kids. And whether your kids are 3 or 13 or 30 or 93, we want to help you do a better job as a Catholic parent in raising those kids to love the Lord and live their faith. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your questions about raising faithful kids. Stick around.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking about raising faithful kids. What does it take? What does the research say it takes? You know what? There is good information that actually stacks the deck in our favor. It's not just luck. We can actually make this work. There are no guarantees, but we can certainly make it more likely. And let us help you make this job easier of raising faithful kids. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maureen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Maureen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Ray and Lisa. So excited to talk to you guys. So I'm a mom, and like you guys, I have a range from my oldest is 30 and my youngest is 16. And we lost my husband a year ago in March.
I am so sorry.
And so
sorry.
I find myself, thanks, you know, it's just different now, right? Because I'm kind of doing it without him.
Yeah.
And so I do find myself... especially now with my son turning 16, like, his voice is changing and he's growing like crazy, and I just, yeah. It's coming, right? And I haven't done this before without, you know, without my spouse there. And I also have a daughter that's a senior in college, and for her not to have her father during these, you know, just vital years in her life is also just, it's just different. And, you know, we have resources. You know, he's in a great Catholic school with amazing, amazing coaches and mentors. And I have a son that's 24 that's in the Navy who's, you know, in his life every single day, helping with physics homework and watching sports games with them online.
That's awesome.
But it's just, and I have a son-in-law also who's a terrific role model, and we just had our first grandchild, so Devin's now an uncle, but it's still, it's, you know, it's just how far do I lean into those resources and, you know, just kind of finding the words and certainly asking God to help us with it every single day. But I just wondered what your thoughts were.
And just to, and I guess,
I'm sure lots of parents out there.
Well, and I want to make sure I'm clear on what your question specifically is, because it's great that you have those resources, and I think that you should lean into them as much as you like. But I'm not clear where the concern is, and are you specifically asking about, you know, how to raise kids in the faith, or are you just talking in general about the challenges that you're facing now, you know, since your husband passed, you know, to be, you know, an effective mom in general? What can we help you with best today?
Yeah, I guess it's the latter question. I mean, I feel like the faith has been such a big part of our lives.
Tell me more about that. How?
You know, just that it is part of our day. We certainly, as a longtime listener, we have, you know, just try to incorporate rituals into our everyday, into our life overall. You know, we pray together. Devin and I will say a rosary before we go to bed at night. You know, it's just certainly part of our life every day.
And is Devin the only one left at home, or do you have other kids at home as well?
He's home, but my college daughter was home also because of COVID, but
she's
actually back at school right now. So and it's been a blessing, right, just to have all this extra bonus time with me to be with them because of the situation.
Right.
Well, I guess the thing that I would say, first of all, it sounds like you're doing a terrific job, and you've got a tremendous, you know, you've been through a tremendous loss, and it's just earth shattering.
I'm amazed that you're even able to have laid down as much as you have in a year. Like, that is heroic, Amory. I have to say, it really is. And I lost my father I'm sorry, Maureen. I lost my father. I'm just a little choked up from what you're going through, so I got a little scattered. When I was a young child. And I'll tell you what, my mother got a lot of stuff together, but did not get it together as quickly as you did, and with the intentionality that you're saying you have here. So you're on the right track 100%. And I would say, you know, in terms of how much do you do, what do? I want you talking to Devin about this pretty much all the time. You know, part of your daily life, just saying, look, this is new. This is scary. We're all grieving. We all miss your dad. What do you need from me today? You know, do you need me to get closer? Do you need to talk? What do you need? How should we pray about this? What's on your heart? Not to the point where you're nagging him, but at least to the point where you're checking in every day, because while you have these wonderful other resources, he needs his mom. He needs that parent, not just sibling or sibling-in-law.
And kind of building on what Lisa is saying here, you know, you mentioned the rituals that you guys are doing, including praying together. Mm-hmm. You know, Lisa's talking about asking that question. You know, what this all really goes to is the idea of being intentional about strengthening your sense of team. You know, between you and your son and your daughter, as long as she's home, really kind of every day in your prayer together, asking God for the grace to really be a team, to show up for each other every day and take care of each other every day. And then having that question, hey, what do we need to do to really feel like we're taking good care of each other today? And some days that might be giving each other some space. Some days that might be, you know, doing certain things for each other or together. But it's about really praying and talking openly about what it takes to maintain and deepen that connection and really be a great team for each other.
The other thing that I'd like to remind you of, Maureen, is that your spouse is part of the communion of saints, right? So just asking, just as you would the Blessed Mother or a particularly well-loved saint like Saint Therese of Lisieux or Saint Anthony, to pray and to intercede, you can do that in your prayer with your son and just say, hey, let's ask your dad to just help us through today. You know, let's ask your dad to guide us closer to God, closer to each other, and with whatever it is your son's going through in the course of that day. Because while you're trying to deal with the loss, connecting him with his father, and not just connecting him with his dad in terms of being able to honor his dad, but also that he's there, he's interceding, he's a connection to God himself, that's going to be very important to both of you. And you yourself saying, honey, what do I do today with our son? Be here. Help me. Intercede for me with God. Because you're a lot closer than I am right now. You're on the right track, Maureen. And I'm going to be praying for you. God bless you. You're actually doing a pretty terrific job.
You really are. Thank you so much for the call. And for all of our listeners, again, if you'd like to learn more about raising faithful kids, check out the free resources we have on Facebook. If you go to Catholic HOM, Households on Mission, you can learn more about our discussion group there. Learn more about our books, including Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn all about faithful ways to live a more joyful and abundant marriage, family, and personal life. CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life that God wants for you, because there is so much more to life with His grace.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.